We are going to jump in, and as you come in, you're probably seeing this beautiful table setting. And of course, with Thanksgiving, hopefully you're making the leap that this table is representing the Thanksgiving table. And for us tonight, we want to do some things that get us ready for the best Thanksgiving that we're ever going to have. And in order to do that, there's a whole bunch of different elements that we're going to go through over the next hour and 15 minutes. And as we do so, we want to reclaim the Thanksgiving table. And I picked a few pictures out for us to look at. Of course, anybody who's over, let's say, 40 has heard about Norman Rockwell. He's a great artist, and he has drawn a painting of a very famous Thanksgiving scene. This has been both tried to be imitated. It's been reinterpreted. There are a dozen or so different interpretations of this that other artists have done, some of them a little more respectful, some of them a little disrespectful. In fact, there's one that's talking about how social media has taken over our world, and as a result, they have the new Thanksgiving dinner. Unfortunately, iPads, the phones, and so on have taken the storm, so this might be a Thanksgiving nightmare rather than a Thanksgiving blessing. But the idea is all of us have been brought in and either guilted into a certain kind of expectation. Maybe they've been invited in and the day kind of got away from you. I don't know if you're like my family. We definitely do the football thing big time. We have three huge football fans and one and a half pretty good football fans. I'm saying one for my wife, she's pretty good, and then my daughter, she's a half. So we do the football thing, and we do a whole bunch of other stuff, but the day can often get away from us, and what we want to do is slow things down and be very, very intentional, because this table that's up here and the pictures that I shared are representative of so much more. They're really a metaphor for taking a step back and doing two things. One, celebrating the best and recognizing that we've been uniquely blessed. And the second one is create a sense of belonging. I know that with my oldest son living on the East Coast and with my other son up at Ohio State, he's going to be graduating, lots of changes in our family. And then my daughter, she's graduating from high school. So all of a sudden, we're going to have, you know, literally kids all over the place. And we're going to have a very, very different experience next year. But we want to take this one and be very, very intentional. I'd like our whole community to do that as well. One of the interesting thing is that we are going to free up what tomorrow looks like. In order to do that, we want to prepare ourselves. And so I'm going to invite the band out right now, and we're going to take a step back. One of the things that we can do to let God know our gratefulness is we can do things for Him. So that might mean sharing our faith with a person that we have at work that we just know would love to know God. Maybe it's feeding people, doing the Thanksgiving food drive, doing things to take care of God's kids. But in addition to just doing things for God, there's also things that we can do for ourselves that bring intimacy. And one of those is worship. And what I want to do tonight is just experiment the littlest bit. If we really love someone, we kind of go all in. And we have some I'm going to use the words, reckless abandon. We can make fools of ourselves. Lovers make fools of themselves to each other. And I want to experiment with that today, that as we consider loving God and showing Him our gratefulness, we take a little jump and we just go all in. So instead of just thinking about the music and how great it is or the voices, it's really imperative that we think about what's behind all this stuff, and that's our Father in heaven. And letting Him know how much we love Him, we have the opportunity to be silly, to be fools, to just show Him how much we have gratefulness for what He's done in our lives. So in order to do that, we're going to start off, and we're going to use some amazing pieces of the Bible. So these scriptures are going to be set to music, and we're going to start off with one that everybody knows that I'm expecting is going to be easy for everybody to jump in with. And it comes from Psalm 117, and it's simply set to music. And so as we do this, I'm going to open in a quick word of prayer and then read this for us, and then we're going to go all in on worship. And that's our start. So, Lord, come and have your way with us. Let us show you just the littlest bit how much we love you through song. And may you prepare us for a day and a weekend that really takes back what this amazing holiday is all about. So we ask for your favor tonight. Ask for a great, great time just being your kids. We pray all these things in your name. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and join in worship. You know, tonight I had something I thought was pretty cool, kind of three punchy, little pithy comments that we could go take and prepare and do tomorrow. But God stopped me on Monday night, and he just quieted me. And it was as clear as just about anything I had heard. And he started saying, I want you to think about my son and how and what he was thankful for. That's an unusual comment. You know, when was Jesus thankful? When did he give thanks? Well, instantly my mind rocketed toward the night before he gave his life for us. And I thought, well, that's a bad night to give thanks. Are you kidding me? He's God. He comes man. That's a bummer. Then he goes on 30 years, builds these great friendships, does all these amazing things, and he's got to give his life away for us, the undeserving. And yet somehow he gave thanks. And I said, well, I want to look this up and see how many examples. Now, some theologian who's far more learned and a historical student will probably prove me wrong, but I think there's five references of when Jesus gave thanks. And one of them was publicly, just to acknowledge that it was his father who was raising Lazarus from the dead, and he gave thanks for hearing his prayer. So that one is one. But then the other four all had to do with this thing right here, with eating and with thinking about our provision. I started getting like, wait, what? What is it? That's when he gave thanks about... So then I started feeling better as a dad. Well, we pray over our food. You know, it was like some kind of a, well, phew. And I started looking just more and more at what he did and why. I mean, he gave thanks when he fed the 5,000. He gave thanks when he fed the 4,000. And he gave thanks after his walk to Emmaus, the 7-mile journey with those two guys. He prepared a meal for him and he gave thanks again. And you sit there and you go, wait a minute, why is he giving thanks? And what is it that God wants at least me to learn and hear? And is this something that we should think about as a community? And so I prayed really hard, and I was just like, God, I don't understand. And clearly I thought about the Thanksgiving table and how oftentimes we get, you know, kind of a guilted presence at relatives or friends or families or whoever you go to celebrate your Thanksgiving with, and there's kind of an obligation, and sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not, sometimes the conversation's good, sometimes it's not. And I was like, God, I just want richness. I want us to be thankful, and I want everybody that our community touches to hear about your great faithfulness. And I just said, God, I what is it about this thanks that you want us to hear? And I thought it was pretty clear that we should be thinking the way Jesus thought the night before he gave his life for us. And here he is, and he bows his head. He's going to have this great meal, and he bows his head, and he says, he gives thanks. And then he breaks his bread and his wine. He passes it around. He says, this is because of what I've done for you. So I know there's something in that, but I started thinking about what he might be praying for. And I immediately thought of, well, if it was me, and I was, you know, having my last night, I think I would pray and be thankful about my friends. Because he's God, and he has perfect intimacy and relationship with the Trinity, something that I think is a mystery beyond our understanding. But then he also had a chance to be every day with this amazing group of people who have come from this unbelievable place of ineptitude and uncertainty and so on. And as they continued to walk with him, they became armed, and they became his force. And I thought, he's praying for his friends. He is thankful for those friends. He might be thankful for food. I don't know if God has food up in heaven. You know, I'm thinking he does because it's so fabulous. And I'm going, okay, well, maybe he's just thankful because he's got a great meal. And he's thinking about amazing tastes. You know, what are the amazing things that he got to experience as man? Maybe he's just grateful for those. Maybe he loved humor. And I think he did. You know, maybe it was Bartholomew doing Thaddeus, doing a swirly in the Jordan River or something like that. I don't know. Maybe there was some hysterical joke, but there was some stuff that he was just going back. And I sense he had a smile on his face, and he just said, thank you. And so I thought we as a community need to step back and say, thank you. So tonight, I want to take time, and you got a little card when we had you come in. It has three little R's. It's an easy way for you to remember it for tomorrow. It's this little game plan, and let me tell you a little bit about it before you start filling it out. I called it a game plan because I want to be very intentional about what happens tomorrow. And it's a game plan for tonight and tomorrow to be centering on the things that have the most meaning. Because I think as Jesus gave thanks, he thought about the things that meant the most. And so tonight I want to center on those and then put a game plan in place so that tomorrow when we get a chance to sit around the table, to just have fun, to sit on hors d'oeuvres, watch football if you want, whatever it is, that we just define meaning. We don't let the day go by. We don't let it slip away from us. So as we do so, I was just saying, what does it really require to be grateful? And the first one is, I think it definitely has a requirement to reflect and to be very, very intentional. And as Jesus was doing so, I think he was thinking about amazing examples of what happened. In fact, in order to be thankful, you have to look back and consider something in order to be grateful for it. You can't just all of a sudden think forward gratefulness unless you're just praying through that. So I think tonight what we have to do first is look back at the headlines over the last year and think about the news in our lives. And don't think about it for your spouse or for your friend or whatever. Think about your walk with God. Think about the last 12 months. And one of the natural inclinations that I had was, you know, I started recapping news. Well, we had this happen, this happened, this happened. And I want to scrap that immediately from all of our minds. This is not about reporting the vacation times we had, the whatever. Although those may be the examples that you want to actually reflect and say thank you for. But what I, when I was preparing for tonight, thought about was, while I had, Lori and I had our, my wife Lori and I had our 25th year anniversary this year, on a different live weekend, I got a chance, that was my son encouraging us, thankful that we're 25 years. He's thankful we're married 25 years. So we went on this great trip, and while there was spectacular scenery, and we just drank in life, and we whatever it was, there was one moment that is representative of what I'm going to encourage us to do, and that's identify what was it that really meant more. And so we're sitting in this fantastic hotel in Banff, whatever it was. I don't know all the stuff that is the provinces and all the other stuff. I kind of forgot now. But we went to Banff and we had this fabulous Royal Canadian Banff Hotel Lodge, something or other. And it was a great place, a wonderful lodge to stay in, and so on. Well, we went all over the place. We encountered unbelievable wildlife and so on and so forth. And we'd come back after the day, and we'd either have dinner before, or we'd come back and just rest. And we're in our bedroom, and that's not the story that I'm going to tell right now. We were actually just relaxing, and Lori was sitting in a high back chair, and she had her feet out on the bed. So she's sitting in her high back chair, has her feet out on the bed. And I was just watching her. Now, I have to extract my wife out of the house to stop her. She cannot stop. It's just like, she just goes into taking care of everybody. And she's always thinking about someone else. And for a moment, I just watched her sitting there on this chair with her legs out, and she was just reading. And I just sat there looking. And she looked up at me, and she saw me, because I probably had some crazy look on my face, and she says, what? And she had this smile that was just so peaceful. And it was so in the moment that I just said, I never want to forget that. I never want to forget that smile. And so for me, as I reflect the highlights of the last year, the gifts that I'm thankful for, that God has inserted into my life, I want to remember that moment. So I'm going to ask the lights to be up a little bit. You got a Sharpie when you came in. And we're going to go through the first R, which is to reflect. And I want you to take out your phones. Last weekend, we teased you a little bit. We didn't give you any time. We're going to give you a little bit of time. And as you look at your phone, think about Instagram, Facebook if you must, whatever, as well as your camera roll. And I want you to go into it and look at the things that you've captured. Because if you captured a picture, you meant to relive that moment. There was a reason you snapped it. You didn't say, I want to forget this, and I want to forget that. You obviously wanted to reconsider and relive and re-experience something that you were taking a picture from. So I want everybody to take out their phones. Hopefully everybody has them. And I want to see a lot of little glows all over our community where you are just paging through. And when you see something that was uniquely wonderful, that was a uniquely sensational gift from God, I want you to sit on there and say, what was it about this moment? God, I want to lift that up to you. I want to record it on this piece of paper because I don't want to forget the thing that's inside the moment. So we took pictures all over Banff, but unfortunately, I didn't just take out my camera and capture Lori's face when she looked up from that peaceful moment. But that's what I want us to record. So we'll give you a little bit of time. Go ahead and page through your phone and take your Sharpie out and go ahead and write it down. Make sure you're trying to capture those on your little sheet. Because it might be part of the game plan for what you have tomorrow. I'm going to start on the second part of this game plan. And you can, if you're in mid-sentence or mid-bullet point that you're copying down, go ahead, keep doing that. But I want to talk you through the second piece. Because the second piece is really, really critical. There are things that happen in our lives that uniquely change us. And sometimes we take something that's actually going to be long and difficult and God has meant for good, and we misunderstand it as a trial or a challenge or something that's just not adding up, and we don't really understand how and why that has come jolting into our life. And we originally might be packaging that as something really, really bad or something really, really difficult. And I'm not trying to mince over and say everything that's not good is from God, but oftentimes there are. So I want to take this second point and say reassign. Let's reassign value to the things that may have come out as incredibly difficult. And let's try to capture why God was behind that and how it uniquely could be something that we need to be thankful for. As I think about this, one of the ideas that immediately jumps into mind, I see my friend Tim Seneff, who's the head of our Reach Out, all the different endeavors we do all over the world. And one of the things that changed my life forever was the journey that we took together in building CityLink. And I know that that journey was over and over one of the most difficult ones that I had in my life. And I knew that there were some people who I just literally couldn't stand and couldn't possibly imagine we're getting the support and the love of God the Father. And somehow, I felt like God just totally is redefining all of that. And it came to mind when I was thinking about this evening as Brian kind of recapped how originally we were considered the worst folks in the world. I mean, we were the ones who were bringing this thing and ruining the neighborhood and the original impressions that they had. And then somehow, because we were faithful, because we were staying there, because people saw that we had open hands and a huge heart, slowly but surely, things started changing. And now looking back at it, we were just at this event two Fridays ago, and one of the people that works there and says, "Why haven't you been down to CityLink lately? You have to come. You of all people, how God has redeemed this thing. It's simply amazing. Mark, I want you to come down when you can spend time and be with some of the people because they are here because of your generosity." And I thought, man, I need to reassign that entire journey and just say, "God, that was good. You meant that for good." So as you're writing your different thoughts down, consider something that God took you through that still might be going through now, that still might be really difficult, but somehow he's teaching you something in this amazing thing. Because I know that if it was left up to my devices, I would not go through anything that's difficult. I'd far prefer not to, but somehow God has a much bigger story for us. Take a few minutes and try to grab onto one of those. In order to make this plan complete, as you continue to jot your thoughts down about what you're uniquely grateful for, I want to bring out a couple of very dear friends of mine who I get to work with every day, I get to laugh with, I get to cry with, I get to plan with, and what I'd like to do is invite these guys up on stage with me to take a spot on the table with me. First, Andy, you know Andy Ryder, he's our worship leader. Let's give him a nice warm welcome. And secondly, we have Matt Castleman. For those of you who don't know Matt, Matt is a vital part of our team. Matt is the producer, so his job is to coordinate all the things that are going on, especially in the weekend experience, but a lot of things outside of that, to make things come off as integrated and fluid. And so he's coaching us through everything that we do. So it's great to have you guys here. As you consider your Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving stories, My list, I don't have enough room on my paper for it, but I would just love to have you guys maybe share a great insight about Thanksgiving or something that uniquely stands out. Andy, why don't you kick it off?
Sometimes the thing that is great, that makes a great Thanksgiving, is not the thing that makes a Thanksgiving uniquely stand out. But the first thing that came to mind, and I suppose I am thankful, So let me spin a yarn for you here. I was dating who is now my wife, Rachel, and you know that moment where like the relationship is kind of progressed along to a point where you need to kind of bring the families into it. You know, you need to kind of have her meet your family, you meet her family, Sure. And all of that. And so this was right around Thanksgiving, and so we thought it would be just a natural thing. For essentially a bunch of my family to come to her family's place and do like a big joint Thanksgiving meal. right? That sounds like a good idea. I don't think I was crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll just fast forward a little bit here. So it's the day of, and we show up at this relative of Rachel's house, who shall remain nameless, who kind of lives out in the country, and then my family shows up. And a member of my family, who also will remain nameless, struck up a conversation with one of Rachel's relatives. And they, was kind of showing them around the property, like there's a beautiful pond and like beautiful woods where they would kind of hunt and do archery and things like that, like well out in the country. And so this relative of mine is one of those people who has just that gift, like that gift of seeming authoritative on whatever the topic is, regardless of how much experience they have with aforementioned thing. And so this relative of mine, we'll call him Uncle Mike, even though it's Jeff. It's a Brian Tome.
Yeah, see that?
Yeah, it's a Brian Tome joke. So we'll say my uncle Jeff, he is just talking and like, oh, man. And the conversation switches to like firearms, hunting, then like outdoor stuff, then hunting, then firearms. And so he's like, oh, well, cool. You're into hunting? Great. Let me show you. And so he kind of shows him a few of the guns that he, like rifles that he has around the house. And one of them was this super cool old like lever action, like cowboy rifle. You know what I'm talking about? And so at this point, they're sitting in the living room. They're sitting in the living room, and admiring the craftsmanship and all of that things. And my Uncle Jeff is just kind of like saying all of the right things and yet not knowing any of the right things. And so hands him the gun. He's like, oh, cool. And as Rachel's relative hands him the gun, he says, it's loaded, and hands him the gun. And my relative is sitting there and, oh, cool, like commenting on like the stock or something, like the quality wood on the stock. And so proceeds to do this and is sitting. And at this point, he's in like a rocker chair. Grandma one is here. Grandma two is here. The kitchen is right there, and it's got one of those little half walls. And says, oh, cool, cool. Bam! Like the loudest noise you've ever heard. And the room is instantly filled with smoke. Instantly just, it took us like a full 5 seconds to understand what had happened. Well, the gun had gone off. The gun had gone off and ricocheted up off of a stone fireplace. And the bullet had just like disintegrated. There was like little pock marks in the ceiling. And then we kind of look, and on the other side of the kitchen, there was like one of those screen or glass sliding doors. The thing is just like opaque. It's so shattered. Which is right by the dining room table. So what comes to mind when I sit around a dining room table, unfortunately, for Thanksgiving, is like the awkwardness of that moment. The thankfulness that no one was killed. And then like, the meal was just insane. Like every moment, like the conversation would kind of like stumble and limp back to life, where we'd like pretend like we were thinking and talking about something other than that moment. Little pieces of glass would just fall and fall from the shattered thing. And then it would just get real quiet. Everybody would look down and like munch on their turkey.
And then there's the bullet. And
so,
that's
beyond
fantastic.
Yes, beyond being thankful, that no one was killed, like for all of the dumb things that happened that day, it worked. Like, people that weren't my family are now my family, and people that, and no one was killed.
So shooting guns is the key.
Shooting guns is the key. Okay. I think if you could walk away from this with one thing, it's untrained people plus firearms is probably a great situation.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
But no, great, like seriously, great friendships, great relationship, and I have literally family that I didn't have before that day, and that, as horrible it was, and I would not wish that situation on anyone, it did bring us closer together.
And you have an awesome story to tell every year at Thanksgiving. I certainly don't have anything that's remotely close to that humor or seriousness. But for us, it was one of the things that comes to mind is my mom, for the life of her, and I'm I've been around a long time. She has not to this day not to this day, made a successful Pillsbury crescent roll. I don't know why either, but the bottom of my mom's crescent rolls are forever charcoal. So it doesn't matter. She can put it in a minute, and she pulls it out, and it's black as coal on the bottom of the crescent roll. So it's become something that we're actually trying to reassign value to and say, Mom, we get to laugh about your thing. She feels horrible. She can't make a crescent roll, but it's absolutely true. And I know it's nothing like your gun story, but that came to mind when you came out.
Like my gun story.
We throw them, and it causes broken windows. But other than that, it's not. Matt, what about you?
Hold on. Were Grandma 1 and Grandma 2 okay in the whole situation?
They're
around. Okay.
Thankfully, they were already both hard of hearing. And
that's good.
They weren't even sure what happened.
That's good. I have a few firearms I brought
that's
to
good.
Reenact that
that's
if
good.
if you're interested. No, man, that's really good. I want that story. I'm gonna have an Uncle Jeff just so I can tell that story.
Yeah.
The story that comes to mind, one of the most memorable Thanksgivings for me was last year. And something you have to know about my family is my stepdad married my mom when I was 9, so this is a while ago. He had 2 kids, so my stepbrother and my stepsister, and they are, if I'm over here, like, you know, I'm a producer here, so I like
creative
things. Yeah, I was in all the school plays, and I did that whole deal, and so I'm over here on this end of the spectrum doing my thing, and then they like sports and football, and, well, that is a sport,
sports.
So I'm told. Sports ball. Touchdown, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. That whole thing. And so we just naturally, like, when we came together, it was like this. And no matter how, you know, no matter how put together we tried to have Thanksgiving or any other event where we sat around a table together, it would inevitably just fall to pieces after, like, a minute of surface conversation. So it would just turn into, like, you know, someone would fart, and then we'd talk about farts for like the next 25 minutes or something like that. Good memories. So
rich.
Yeah.
Deep,
so last
deep
year,
conversations.
Very deep. So last year, we're all older now, and my parents thought it would be great. Let's get a cabin. Let's go away for the holidays. Let's take our family that naturally works so well when we're together in our own home, and let's transplant into a cabin in the middle of the woods with no one around. All under one roof. It'll be great, right? So we all were going into it like, this is going to be miserable. What are we thinking? How much alcohol did you bring? Like, are we going to be covered here? This is great, by the way. This is like Welch's Vineyard 2008 or something like that.
Good year.
So we get together, and we're sitting around the dinner table. And like I said, normally the conversation starts off, like on Thanksgiving especially, it starts off with like, amen. Okay, let's see. And then we'd start talking about farts or football or, like, that would literally, I joke, kid you not, like, I remember growing up, and it was like a tradition. Like, that was as deep as our traditions ran. We'd be sitting there eating, and all of a sudden you just hear, like, and everyone, like, look at each other and see who was trying to crack a smile to whoever made it. So that's what we were expecting. Well, what happened was my dad, who organized this whole thing, he said, we're going to do something different. So we all sat down, and we're expecting, you know, we're expecting it to be like normal. He goes, no, we're going to do something different this year. No farts. And we're all like, oh, no farts. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do without the farting?
That's all we have. He said, no farts. We're actually going to engage with one another. We're going to say what we're thankful for. We're like, oh, okay, I've seen that in the movies. I think people do that. That's what families do. And he goes, no, but really, we're going to, like, turn to the person to our left and, like, look them in the eyes and say what we're thankful for them. And we're all like, ugh. I don't think I've ever looked my stepbrother in the eyes before. He would beat me up. And then we're going to turn to the person to our right, and we're going to say what we're thankful for them. We're like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be really uncomfortable, right? My stepbrother and I, like, he's a bodybuilder, so he's like this. He does not have a neck. He's just like this. He's not here tonight. I can say that safely without getting crushed. So he's like this. He's like a wall. And our communication was just like that. Like, we didn't talk. So you have to know that going into the story. So we go around and we're saying our things, and it's nice. But then we get to my stepbrother, and he's like, you know, he's just kind of stewing in it. Like, I hate this. But he's like, all right. Well, and he looks at my mom, and for the first time, honestly, I mean, 15 years plus, for the first time, I think he said more than 10 words at a time to her. And it was just, it was really cool to see. And in 15 years, I think I learned more about my brother than I had all growing up, just because my dad had offered, hey, we're going to change something up tonight. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. Mm. And then my stepbrother turned to the person to his right. I forget who it was at this point, but he did the same thing. And by the time my stepbrother was done talking, he had talked for, I don't know, 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes. I mean, we went from like 5 words at a time to like 25 minutes, and he's just like expressing himself. And honestly, it was the first time that I ever met my brother, because my stepdad said, tonight we're going to do something different. We're going to go against the norm, like what we expect, just because it's the tradition of what we do, and I want tonight to be meaningful. So I grew closer to my brother as a result.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming up on the table with me. Give it up. The third R is probably the hardest, and the third R is to reveal parts of ourselves. If there's really going to be something significant tonight, tomorrow, with our family, with our friends, with whomever it is we spend the time with, there's got to be some authenticity, some vulnerability, an opportunity to reveal our stories. Matt just crushed that. I was not expecting that. He met his brother for the first time because his dad had enough courage to ask a question and say, no, we're not going to talk about farts tonight. You probably heard the word fart enough tonight. I'll stop saying it, but... So the idea is, let's put together a game plan for tonight and tomorrow to maybe take some of these things that we reflected on, some of the things that we might have gone through and struggled but reassigned some incredible value to, and let's think about how we might introduce this over the course of the next day and a half. You know, for me, I know that if I don't think through how this is going to happen, it'll probably get past me, but our family's pretty used to it. We do it for birthdays. We do it for certain kind of traditions where we ask the person lots of questions. We try to be creative and come up with some other questions. So I'm going to go ahead and write down my plan. One of the things that I know I'm going to do is about 5 minutes before our dinner, I'm going to try to change the tone of what's happening, because my oldest and probably my middle son are both going to be glued, because the Bears are playing the Lions, they're going to be glued to the TV, and they're going to be watching football. So I know that when my wife is ready, she always wants us to jump at the table, because it's hard to get everything timed together, and if it's cold, we're going to get in trouble. So I'm gonna make sure that we're there, but most importantly, I think I'm going to change the type of conversation about 5 minutes before we get down to the table, so that we can start talking about things that are more meaningful to each of us. And I think the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to ask a few questions, and I don't know, I'll just throw out an example. Since it's Christmas time, I might ask, what was the best gift that you got this year? Think about it. You got 2 minutes, and we're going to start going around. And actually, our family likes to share the things that have a bunch of meaning to us. So we actually don't have a shy person really among us, even though my daughter's probably the quietest. She likes to talk about things that have meaning. So if I think of a good conversation starter, or my wife and I often, you know, collaborate and say, let's talk, spend some time talking about this, we'll go ahead and we'll craft a couple of questions that will introduce how to reclaim this dinner table. So I'm going to leave you just 1 minute, because we're starting to get shy on time for the communion, and I want to make sure we leave enough time for that. Go ahead and write down your game plan strategy. That is, you know, who am I going to talk to first that might uniquely steer the conversation towards something more meaningful? How do I introduce that? Am I going to ask a question? What time? What's the best moment? Well, if the football games dominate here, or if the meal does that, is meeting it and introducing it at the actual table, does that work, or is there too much chatter and it's too hard to have one conversation? Think through it and go ahead and write down a little bit of your game plan before we leave. clearly 20 to 30 minutes before the next day and a half probably isn't enough to architect exactly what you want to have. But I want to pray before we shift gears on this part. We came before God and we said we love you. Now we're going to ask him to bless whatever plans it is that we have for tomorrow. So God, we lay before you a game plan to reclaim your Thanksgiving table. The table's metaphoric, God. Wherever the moment is, we ask that we could do something that really shares what's important to us, that we could really ask and learn and meet our brother for the first time, like Matt said. Whatever it is, God, I just lay before you tonight and tomorrow and ask for you to redefine what meaning is to our friends, to our family that we're going to be with tomorrow. In your name we pray. Amen. The amazing thing is that as I looked at these four different times that Jesus said that he was thankful, each one of them was around bread. And I started wondering why. Why was it that he was so thankful? And I started to think that maybe it was because he knew that he was the bread of life. It says in John chapter 6, verse 35, the following. It says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so the night before he gave up his life, he was giving thanks. I think probably the biggest reason that he was giving thanks was because he knew he'd get to see his friends forever. And that's what the invitation is tonight. To share a Thanksgiving table with us, your community. We splurged. We've got Hawaiian rolls and grape juice for you to take back to your seat, however you want to do it. And it's a little bit longer, and what I'd like you to do is come up and take a roll and take the juice when we're ready. And I'd like you to go back and think about this Thanksgiving and enter that moment of gratefulness. And lay before him your game plan to reclaim with your friends. And to remember what his sacrifice was. He said he was going to pass this bread out and break it. And it was broken for us to be with him forever. He was changing the rules by giving his life. And I think that brought even a smile, regardless of what the pain and the humiliation was that he suffered the next day. And he kept on coming back and saying, when you do this, when you get a chance to break the bread and drink the wine, I want you to remember, you're going to be with me forever. I'm your God, and I came and did this for you because I want you. And for that, I'm really grateful. So at your convenience, come forward, take a King's Hawaiian roll and a little cup of juice and bring it back to your chair and remember. And then we have the following on the 7th, and then we have one on the 14th. I want to encourage you right now to pencil in on your calendars the 14th of December. We are going to have a very, very special time together, and we want to just say thank you for an amazing 6.5 years in this place. So let me pray and close out the night. God, we give you thanksgiving. We give it up to you. We thank you for the art of worship. We thank you for the craft of worship. Most of all, we thank you for notes. And somehow, mysteriously, they change me. The way that these sounds are assembled, the words behind them, the idea of this mystery changing how I think, how I feel, how my mind releases amazing feelings of love for you. And God, I ask that tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow, we would have a deep, rich, meaningful time of thanksgiving with all of the people that we're going to be with, whether it's one friend, whether it's an enormous family, whether it's a combination and multiple families, whatever it is, God, we give up the next day and a half because we love you and we say thank you. In the name of your Son who changed the rules, amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you in the weekend.